What is God's purpose for marriage? How should we respond when traditional marriage is openly mocked as irrelevant? The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March is titled Your Marriage by God's Design. It's written by Issues, Etc. regular guests Scott and Julie Stiegemeier. You can find out more about Your Marriage by God's Design at issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Your Marriage by God's Design, the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month.
One night, I just woke up and it went, killing Jesus. And I believe, because I'm a Catholic, that comes from the Holy Spirit. My inspiration comes from that. And so I wrote Killing Jesus because I think I was directed to write that. And I believe that's all directed, and that's why I'm here on the planet. This is not a religious book. There's no religion in a book, nothing. It's all about history.
That's Bill O'Reilly speaking of the release of his best-selling book, now best-selling book, Killing Jesus. Joining us to review this book and to deal with that claim, this is not a religious book, it's not a book of theology, it's just a book of history, and that's why you'll read what you'll read in Bill O'Reilly's Killing Jesus, and why you won't read what you don't find there in Bill O'Reilly's Killing Jesus. He says that accounts for the differences between the New Testament claims and his research and history. How do you respond to that? Pastor Tom Baker is our guest, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel, joining us to review the best-selling book, Killing Jesus, by Bill O'Reilly and Martin Gugard. Tom, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
He says it's not a religious book, it's just a book of history. That's how he accounts for the things he leaves out of the history of Jesus in Killing Jesus. How do you respond?
I kind of agree with Candida Moss. She is a professor of New Testament and early Christianity at the University of Notre Dame. This is her concluding paragraph. Apart from the methodological problems, the entire book is written in the style of a novel, not a history book. We hear the thoughts of Herod as he orders the execution of the male children of Bethlehem, for instance. It's entertaining, but it's historical fan fiction, not history. And I found a number of areas where there are actually historical errors in the book. But the main problem I have is normally when I hear somebody say, we're going to write a historical account rather than a theological account, that means they're going to try and be scientific. And on the basis of, well, the evidence, they're going to either see something, hear something, smell something, taste something. And it's very interesting that throughout the book, the theological comes through again and again, because O'Reilly appears to pick and choose which Bible verses he thinks are accurate. I know most of his problems have come with the book, not with the book itself, but with the interviews he's done. For example, as you yourself just heard, there's no religion in the book. Well, I found numerous occasions when he refers to Jesus as Messiah or Christ, when he says Jesus is the Son of God, when he even says that Jesus is God, and Jesus does miracles. And I have a real problem trying to discern how he and Martin Dugard, who helped write the book with him, understand the difference between history and theology.
The dedication of the book, he says, in his own words, this book is dedicated to those who love their neighbors as themselves. And he seems to focus upon that as kind of, well, if you're going to take anything away from the life of Jesus, you should take this away. What, is that a sufficient summary of the life of Jesus?
It's of somewhat interest to know that every religion somewhat has this golden rule, in contrast to John 13, verse 34, where Jesus himself says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. We really get an understanding of O'Reilly's thinking theologically. It just happened on March the 21st. Sally Quinn interviewed Bill O'Reilly about his theology. And he says, yes, I believe that Jesus was sent by God and that Jesus is God. And the main point was that he really feels that this religion, Christianity, is a works religion. A works religion where, depending on how you're going to behave, will depend on whether or not you go to heaven or to hell. And that helps me understand why he dedicated the book to those who love their neighbors as themselves. He says, I go to church every Sunday, but I'm not interested in boring priests. In fact, he referred to the priests he listens to as ridiculous. And what he does, he takes the time to figure out what he can do in his life to help people out. That's the purpose of going to church. What can I do better? Projects that I can launch that will help people. I do that in church. And so this historical account of killing Jesus oftentimes deals not at all with the true purpose for which Jesus came, the forgiveness of sins. It's hardly even mentioned. The resurrection, as you said, Todd, isn't mentioned. But instead, we get this understanding that Jesus came to really help out society and help people who were in need.
A quote from his book, and I want you to tell us what he means by this and what your response is. From Killing Jesus, it says, "The incredible story behind the lethal struggle between good and evil has not been fully told until now. At least that is the goal of this book." Is he claiming to have uncovered new information about the real reason for Jesus' death?
Yes. To tell you the truth, of the first 80 or so pages of Killing Jesus, only 15 of them are about Jesus himself. Instead, he talks about the history, biography, and politics of the ancient Mediterranean. And much of this is gleaned from Roman and Jewish historians, like the imperial biographer Suetonius and the Jewish general Josephus. Now, these are authors that O'Reilly trusts implicitly. The problem is, these are not always accurate. They were very dealing with propaganda to a great degree. And Cicero himself complains that he's misrepresented in the daily reports. The Roman governor Pliny retells the story he had heard in such a way that a dog jumped in the river after his deceased owner. It's really odd that he would just follow those people and not follow the Bible itself. So a lot of the book is on the historical evidence of secular historians like Josephus and others, even though at times he ends up contradicting the Bible.
So how would you say O'Reilly regards, you said he picks and chooses which Bible passage he thinks are accurate or ought to be paid attention to. How do you think he regards the New Testament Gospels?
He once talked about that the Gospel, when he thinks of the Gospel, he really refers to the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I've never heard him either on his program, and I often listen to him, as well as other places where he understands that the gospel is the message of Jesus Christ coming to take away the sins of the world, declaring you sinless because God is now reconciled to the world due to the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That kind of talk is found nowhere in Killing Jesus, and therefore, I think he's really misleading people as to the real history behind the scriptures.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're reviewing the best-selling book, Killing Jesus, by Bill O'Reilly and Martin Dugard. Our call-in number on this Wednesday afternoon, March the 26th, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio. We get those in real time. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc. More review with Pastor Tom Baker of Bill O'Reilly's best-selling book, Killing Jesus, right after this. Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
Seek out that clear teaching. That's why Issues Etc. is so great.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk, host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting, on the value of Issues Etc.
I can't speak highly enough of the times in my life, previous to seminary especially, where it was my lifeline. It was giving me the food that I needed, the clear thinking Christianity, to be able to know what I believed and why I believed it.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. Issues Etc. IssuesETC.org.
In Higher Things, we believe that if you put good Christ crucified for you Lutheranism into a youth, you'll get a good Christ crucified for you Lutheran youth. Join us this July at the Higher Things Crucified Youth Conferences in Florida, Wisconsin, Utah. Check us out at www.higherthings.org. Higherthings.org. Dare your youth to be Lutherans this summer.
Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church, Albany, Oregon, is a mid-Willamette Valley LCMS congregation where the liturgy lives and God's people worship as one, with sound biblical doctrine, weekly communion, and a clear confession of Christ crucified for the sin of the world. Please join us at 2515 Queen Avenue Southeast, or visit our website at www.HolyCrossLutheranAlbany.org.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night, you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
He was personally insulted that the temple was being used as a place of commerce, and not only that, he was upset that the Jews were taxing, overtaxing, and extorting the folks. That's the crux of the killing Jesus theme, is that there was a reason he was executed, not that he was saying he was God. Droves of people said they were God. But now, when you interrupt the money flow, now you're into territory where they got to get rid of him.
Bill O'Reilly commenting on his best-selling book, Killing Jesus, The Real Reason That Jesus Was Killed, claims to have unearthed this by his historical research, reflected there in that best-selling novel. Reviewing the book with Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, let's deal with that claim there that we just heard, namely that the real reason Jesus was killed was because he was impacting the Jewish leadership financially. What are your thoughts?
I think it brings us back to what you had said, that the full story has not been fully told. And from Mr. O'Reilly's point of view, that's the full story, that he really was crucified by the Jewish leaders because they were afraid that their money was going to dry up. In fact, on page 229, he says, Jesus committed a grave offense. He interrupted the flow of funds from the temple to Rome when he flipped over the money changers' tables, and anyone interfering with the profit-taking must be punished. But if you take a look at Mark chapter 14, listen to this. And the high priest tore his garments and said, "What further witnesses do we need? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision?" And they all condemned him as deserving death. Deserving death, not because they were going to lose a lot of money to the Romans, but instead because he was a blasphemer from their point of view. Mr. O'Reilly needs to make up his mind. Is Jesus the man of the people seeking to liberate the oppressed from a heavy tax burden? Or is he a peaceful man of God just trying to make a difference? And I believe Bill O'Reilly comes down on the wrong side of this.
How does he explain, and he does it in the book, I mean, he makes reference to Jesus as thinking he is the Son of God, saying he is the Son of God. How does he deal with those claims, given the fact that he says that really didn't have anything to do with why Jesus died?
Yeah, it really begins with page 2, where he says, in this book, we do not address Jesus as the Messiah, only a man who galvanized a remote area of the Roman Empire and made very powerful enemies while preaching a philosophy of peace and love. Then on page 150, he says, Jesus is again claiming that he is who John publicly proclaimed him to be, the Messiah. On 174, many now believe that Jesus is indeed the Christ, and Christ is the Greek word for the Hebrew Messiah. On page 184, the two blind men call out to Jesus, referring to him as Son of David, a designation that only can be applied to the Christ. And on 187, Jesus has made it clear that he is the Christ, but that his kingdom is not of this world. And as to Son of God, page 76, this is O'Reilly writing, as the Gospels unfold, the title Son of God becomes imbued with greater significance as Jesus' personal claims of divinity and acts of divinity become pronounced. On 104, John cries out, I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God. And 131, this is O'Reilly writing, in essence, Jesus tells these men he has long known not only that he is the Son of God, and on 132, three times, he's declared himself to be the Son of God. And I'm only just reading a few of these, Todd. It's kind of like the writer Bill didn't realize what O'Reilly was writing. It's just really confusing when he says we're not talking about him as the Messiah, and then numerous times he does say he's the Messiah, he's the Son of God, and he even says that he's God himself. 193, Jesus interferes with the flow of commerce and called the temple his home as if he were God. So again and again, the theological points of view, which I really like, come into the book, even though he says, no, we're only writing this as a historical book to talk about how Jesus was really a man who galvanized a remote area of the Roman Empire.
How does he treat the miracles of Jesus? How do they figure into his retelling of Jesus' life and death?
Now, see, there are very few seminaries in the world where the professors continue to believe in the miracles, the supernatural. And so when you hear somebody saying we're looking at it from a historical point of view and not a miraculous or supernatural, when he says that, you don't expect that Mr. O'Reilly would anywhere talk about the miracles. But on page 150, the eager disciples go on to tell John that Jesus not only alluded to his own virgin birth as foretold by Scripture. On page 155, making matters more difficult for the holy men is Jesus' ability to amaze the peasants of Galilee by performing supernatural acts. And then, even though he calls it a legend on 199, the legend of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead became so widespread that it was a main component in the temple's priests plotting against Jesus, which shows it really wasn't money, another contradiction within his own text. So for him, these miracles did take place. He really cannot divide himself from his upbringing. He not only was brought up as a Roman Catholic, but according to the interview that he had with Sally Quinn, he agreed that he was an altar boy and that he believed all of this and still does because he's a very simple man. And he just doesn't understand that that comes through again and again in the book, which is a good thing, except at times he says things that are really odd. Like, for example, Jesus' words from the cross, he only said two or three of them because his voice was so weak, he wouldn't have been able to say the others. This is pure speculation, has nothing to do with accurate history, and therefore he picks and chooses the Bible where I haven't figured out what his criteria are for accurate history.
Two final questions on this, Tom. One is, O'Reilly claims that Jesus went around preaching preaching a philosophy of peace and love. Is there evidence for that in the New Testament, that Jesus was just a philosopher of peace and love?
Philosophy, if you divide the two words up, they're Greek. It means a love of wisdom. And we're not talking about God's wisdom, we're talking about man's wisdom. Jesus was about as far from philosophy as you can get. The Sermon on the Mount, you've heard it said of old, thou shalt not murder. Most of the Pharisees are nodding their heads. Yep, I've never murdered anybody. I tell you that even if you have a wrong thought, even if you have a wrong word against someone, guess what? You get the same punishment as if you actually committed the deed of murder. Jesus did not have a philosophy of man. He had a theology from God. In fact, the word theology is, again, two Greek words, theos, meaning God, and logos, meaning word. And therefore, the very same one who in Genesis 1:3 said, let there be light, is the one who continued with this marvelous teaching of God's holy word.
Finally then, Tom, given this brief review here, how can Christians use the book, Killing Jesus?
I sent my notes to a good friend of mine who lives in California, and by God's grace, he met with 17 people last Sunday night, including two Jewish physicians, a Roman Catholic friar, a Roman Catholic priest, and a number of other people from different kinds of settings. And my encouragement is that people should invite individuals to their home to talk about Bill O'Reilly's Killing Jesus, because after about an hour of just talking about the book, they started talking about the real issues. And it was really quite amazing in this particular setting. One of the Jewish physicians said, you know, the thing I didn't like about O'Reilly's book is he doesn't talk about the resurrection. And I want to know about the resurrection. And this gave the opportunity for my friend, who is a born member of Concordia Mission Society, to share the message of Jesus Christ, beginning with Genesis 3:15, the promise to Adam and Eve, throughout the Old Testament, because there were a number of Jews there. And one particularly individual came up and shook his hand afterwards and really thanked him, and they hope to be continuing with these kinds of discussions. So what I see Bill O'Reilly's book is available as a starting off point to show the difference between a Roman Catholic view, a Lutheran view, a Presbyterian view, a Jewish view, etc., and allow the Holy Spirit to do his work. And I think this would be a marvelous opportunity for folks to invite people to their homes to discuss Bill O'Reilly's Killing Jesus.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. You can find out more about Law and Gospel at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
And thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time reviewing the latest in the story of World Vision. World Vision, a Christian charitable organization that had decided to hire gay married Christians. It appears to be rethinking that decision. Joe Dallas, Program Director for Genesis Counseling, will be our guest. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Augsburg Lutheran, Shawnee, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Fresno, California. Trinity Lutheran, Casper, Wyoming. Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas. Trinity Lutheran, Gillette, Wyoming. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California. St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa. Redeemer Lutheran, Caca-Becca Falls, Ontario, Canada. St. Jacoby Lutheran, Shawano, Wisconsin. And St. John's Lutheran, North Prairie, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Christianity has so much influenced our culture that we take it for granted and think it was always that way.
Dr. Alvin Schmidt talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And if you move into one of the Mideastern countries where primarily the theology of Islam operates, you can see the influence of what Christianity has had in our culture. Yet we tend not really quite to, how shall I say, realize it and appreciate it. And once in a while, we need to be reminded.
You can meet and hear Dr. Alvin Schmidt making the case for Christianity's positive impact on civilization June 13th and 14th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.